Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. He is scheduled to return June 2019. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. If you live in the Kansas City area, please join us in a live Sunday service from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Our services are currently being held at 1721 North 9th Street in Kansas City, Kansas, 66101. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you and praise you for this awesome day in Jesus. We thank you for all your wonderful blessings that come from your word. We thank you for your word that we have this opportunity to study it, to hear it, to be it. Father, we give you praise and thanksgiving for the authority, power you have given us in the name of Jesus. So we remind Satan right now that he is defeated and under our feet. He cannot cause any confusion, strife, or discord in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we're going to be very careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that's going to give us guidance, teach us, so that we can be those people of excellence that you've created us to be. And Father, we thank you in that name that is above every name, the name of our Savior and soon returning King, Jesus the Christ. Amen. All right, family. We are continuing with our new teaching entitled, Redeemed in Jesus, with a subtitle, What Does It Mean to Be Redeemed? Last week, we started with the introduction of this teaching, and within the introduction, I defined the word redeem, which simply means to buy back. As I told you last week, before we examine the New Testament and redemption in Jesus, I want to share with you the importance of the Old Testament and what atonement meant for the Old Testament saints. Our brief examination of the Old Testament will lay the foundation for understanding the New Testament and the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. This teaching on redemption consists of three parts. They include, number one, God's original intent for mankind. Number two, atonement under the Old Testament. And then finally, number three, redemption under the New Testament. Each part will build on the foundation of Jesus' assignment and how he purchased us back to the Heavenly Father. Listener, if you were not with us last week, please go to our website at kccfc.net. to hear the first episode of this teaching, now archived under our radio broadcast page. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We do welcome them. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 8, verses 4 and 6. Again, the book of Psalm chapter 8, I'm going to read verses 4 and 6. I will be quoting from the New King James Bible as we go through these scriptures, unless otherwise stated. All right. Again, part one of this teaching, which we are about to start, is God's original intent for mankind. God's intent for mankind has always been the same, and that is that man would have dominion and power over the earth realm. It says in the book of Psalm, verses 4 through 6, just like this, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than Elohim, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet." Wow. God created individuals, people, children, just like him. And as we continue with reading scriptures in the book of Genesis, you're going to see exactly that statement come to life. But before we move on, I do want to highlight, in case you missed who is speaking and who he is speaking of, I want to read this scripture and put in and identify for you the individuals. So it says, what is man that you, referring to God, are mindful of him, referring to man? The Son of Man that you, God, visit him, man. For you, referring to God, have made him, or mankind, a little lower than Elohim. Now this word Elohim is the Hebrew name, or one of the Hebrew names, for God. And you, referring to God, have crowned him, man, with glory and honor. We're talking about God's original intent for mankind. This is what the scriptures tell us in the Old Testament. One last sentence says, you, or God, have made him, man, to have dominion over the works of yours, or God's hands. You, God, have put all things under this man's feet. All right. This is God's original intent. God wanted children made in made in his image, operating in his likeness, which is with authority, dominion, and power. All right. God has always wanted a family of children who would love him freely and willingly. It was for this reason that he created man in his own image with the ability to reproduce after his kind. In other words, more images of God to populate this beautiful earth that he created for mankind. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to read verses 26 through 28. This one scripture in the book of Psalm did talk about dominion. It did talk about man being empowered. But I also want to show this same topic or this same image of man through the creation. So in Genesis chapter 1, starting with verse 26, I'm going to read. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. All right. I want to highlight a few things from this passage to give you a good understanding of our God, our living God, and how he intended the original intent for mankind. So at the very top, verse 26, it says, then God said, let us. Well, if man was not yet created, who was he speaking to? Who was he asking, let us make man in our image? Well, we know from other scripture and verses that it was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God has three parts, yet he is still one. And he was speaking to the deity of his being, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He said, let us make man, that being in reference to mankind, in our image according to our likeness. So what is the image of God and what is his likeness? Well, I'm going to give you more scripture on his image shortly, but his likeness is God is all-powerful. He's all-being. He has no beginning and he has no end. So the likeness of God is someone who has dominion and power. And that's what he wanted his children to be like him. He gave us dominion and power over the earth realm, not over people, but over the earth realm. So let's continue with that. It says, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air. And he continues on regarding the earth realm and all that we would have dominion over. Verse 27, so God created man in his own image. Now, remember I said we're going to talk a little bit about the image of God. God is a spirit, and he created individuals. Excuse me, I'm very sorry. He created individuals who were initially spirits, but because we live in this earth realm, he gave us an earth suit, which is this flesh, this body that we live in that's created from the dust of the earth. And, of course, we have a soul, which is where we house our intellect, our emotions, our personality. That's what makes you, you, special. So God is a spirit, and we are too. And then just as a tidbit in verse 27 that I think will excite all of us is that in the image of God, he created him, male and female. Now, notice that woman was not fashioned until Genesis chapter 2, verses 21 and 23. But in chapter 1, he has already set in motion that there would be a woman and that she would be comparable to man because they were made in the same awesomeness in his first, in his image of what he was going to create mankind like, and then he created the male and the female. Even though the man even hadn't even been birthed yet, in so to speak, in other words, given life, and the woman had not yet been fashioned. God was speaking into existence those things that be not as though they were. That's what he wants for his children. He wants us to speak those things that be not as though they were by faith, operating according to the dominion and power that God has given us. Amen. All right, then the last part that I want to highlight in verse 28 is, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion. Again, have dominion. Over and over again in this passage, we see that God wanted his children to have dominion, to be fruitful, and to multiply. Amen. God created a people with free wills, with the capability to choose to be obedient or disobedient to their creator. He did not want pre-programmed robots. And we're going to read that in Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. But children made in his likeness to fellowship and commune with. That's what God's intent was, his original intent. And according to Scripture, in the beginning there was communication in the cool of the day between man and God. And we'll be reading that from the Scriptures as well. Let's start with Genesis chapter 2. We're going to read verses 16 and 17. Verse 16 says, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. Verse 17, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. All right, family, we're talking about God's original intent. He did not want us to be robots. He gave us free wills, and he wanted us to freely choose to be obedient, just like he does today. And just like us parents want our children not just to be obedient because of fear, but obedient because of their love for their parents, their love for life. And then again, I want to point out in verse 16, it says, the Lord God commanded the man, being Adam. So the commandment was given to man to follow through. When we know from Scripture that nothing happened when Eve ate of the fruit because the commandment was given to man. But as soon as Adam ate of the fruit, that separation, that spiritual separation between man and the Heavenly Father came about. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. I want to give you the verse regarding the communion that God intended for mankind. Remember, we're starting in the book of Genesis because we want to find out what God's original intent for man was so that we can appreciate what Jesus did to bring us back to that original intent. and give us the communion and fellowship that God originally intended. All right, Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 says, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden." Now, we know that by chapter 3, the sin has already taken place. And that is the reason why Adam and Eve were hiding themselves, because they had already broken the commandment that God had given Adam, and that was not to eat of that tree. But God was giving them an opportunity to come to him, probably for repentance. So he called out to them in that garden in the cool of the day, just as he had done on many occasions prior to. But Adam and Eve hid themselves. Now, we know from reading that book that eventually God had to separate them from the garden, and he gave them some consequences to their actions. But we know that that was not God's intent. In fact, things were just as God intended in the beginning. God himself looked at all that he created on the sixth day, and he said that indeed it was very good. We find this recorded in Genesis chapter 1, verse 31. After God fashioned man from the dust of the earth, he breathed into Adam's nostrils, and Adam did come to life. This is recorded in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. Man became a living spirit housed in a clay vessel. I want to highlight that because remember at the very beginning when God is discussing the creation of man, he is saying we're going to make man in our image, in our likeness. Again, man is a living spirit. He lives in a home where it's made from the dust of the earth, and he possesses a soul where his personality, intelligence, and emotions are housed. Man became a living spirit housed in a clay vessel that would have dominion over all the earth. God never intended for man to physically die and leave this earth realm. God made the earth for mankind, and this is our final home for all eternity. In chapter 21 of the book of Revelation, you can read the full account of what will take place when all things will be made new again. So I just want to read a couple of scriptures just to give you an idea of that new Jerusalem, the new earth. So let's turn to Revelation chapter 21. I'm going to be reading verses 1 through 4, and then you'll get an insight if you haven't already read that book and understood that portion of what will take place in the end times. All right, verse number 1. "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." Now notice that this new earth, this new place where mankind will dwell, is going to go back to the original state that God intended from day one, prior to the sin and the curse of the law. I want to highlight just a couple of things just to really bring home this intent that God has for man. In verse number 3, it says, the last sentence of that scripture says, God himself will be with them and be their God. There's going to come a time just like Adam and Eve when they walked in that cool of the day and spoke to their living God, that that will come about as well. I suspect that will be Jesus himself, because he has a body, and he was resurrected with that body. So he himself will walk with us in this earth realm. Let's drop down to the last part of verse number 4. It says, no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. That's the kind of life that God wanted for us from the original day that he created man. No more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's an awesome thing. We don't have to worry about aging, getting old, losing our muscle mass, our minds, our health, you know, no more of that deteriorating body. No more sorrow or crying. Praise the holy name. Then it goes on to say, there shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. So this is what will take place at the second coming after all has been settled in the book of eschatology or the book of Revelation. That's what is predicted or prophesied for those of us who know Jesus as Savior and Lord. And it's going to be awesome. But again, I'm pointing this out to let you know this is what God intended from day one. And as a result of what Jesus completed, we can have that again in this earth realm at this time. Let's continue. God will once again set in order what he intended from the beginning of time. There is no death in God. Death is the perversion of life brought on by sin and the author of sin, which is Satan. The life that God breathed into Adam was pure and eternal. Job said it like this in the book of Job, chapter 33, verse 4. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. That's what God did for mankind. He put his eternal life into us. So the original intent was never for man to die, but sin caused a lot of havoc in the earth realm as a result of one man's disobedience. As long as Adam's relationship with God remained in obedience to his commandment, all of us under the covering of Adam would have lived in perfect harmony according to God's intended purpose. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5. I want to read verse 14. Romans chapter 5, one verse, verse 14. It says, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. All right, I want to highlight one very important thing. First of all, at the end of that scripture, it says, Adam is a type of him, referring to Jesus, or the Messiah, who was to come. So, Adam was our first representative for mankind. He failed. He failed big time. He turned over all of his dominion and power to Satan. As a result of that, God put into action his redemptive work. Let's continue. Again, as the result of Adam's disobedience, God proclaimed to man in Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, for out of it, referring to the dust, you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return. From this day forward, man's days were numbered on the earth. Even so, God's mercy and love for man was demonstrated by not allowing sinful Adam and Eve to eat of the tree of life. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 22, we read that God sent Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden and placed cherub, which is a type of angel, to guard the entrance of the garden, so they could not eat of the tree of life. God was protecting mankind from having to live for all eternity in damnation due to sin. God was not punishing man. He was protecting man from eternal spiritual separation. That is so very important, family. Sometimes we misread or misunderstand God's intentions, but He's such a loving God. He wants to protect His creation, His children. And so He knew if Adam and Eve would eat of the tree of life, that for all eternity we would live from His presence. In other words, we would be spiritually separated from our Heavenly Father. Had Adam eaten of the tree of life without redemption, Adam and Eve and all of mankind would have been cut off from God forever. God, in His immense love, knew that the day would come when His redemptive plan would be made available and mankind could once again be reunited spiritually with Him as He originally intended, not merely servants of God, but children with an eternal inheritance. This is the very reason that Abram, now known as Abraham, had for his descendants. Abram said in Genesis chapter 15, verse 2, Abram is speaking. He says, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus?" Now, Eleazar of Damascus was a servant of Abram, not a son. Abram didn't have children at the time. So Abram did not want his inheritance going to his servant. Oh my goodness. I'm sorry, family. We are out of time. I hate to stop right here because I did want you to understand the importance of that covenant. But I am going to come back to it next week, so I hope you will return and join me so that we can continue with our lesson, Redeemed in Jesus. What does it mean to be redeemed?
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body, in Jesus' name.